Since March 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been developing content monthly, weekly, and daily for the business of pharmacy. With more than 25 different podcast channels, more than 1 million downloads, and 30-plus participating pharmacists, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is the global leader in podcasting for the pharmacy professional. Find all of our podcast channels by going to pharmacypodcast.com/shows.
You are listening to The Medical Podcast, a podcast publication, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Medical Podcast is dedicated to pharmacists, healthcare professionals, and is devoted to delivering accurate, timely, cutting-edge information about medical marijuana. We will bring you the most up-to-date scientific, political, regulatory, financial, and interesting information not available on any other podcast program. Not since Silicon Valley and the technology boom have we seen the likes of any other industry that has grown this fast over a relatively short period of time. The medical marijuana industry is projected to hit the $30 billion mark in the next 5 years. The medical cannabis industry has the potential of helping billions of people around the globe, but at a significant social, economical, and political cost. Our goal is to answer some of your questions, plus heighten, enlighten, confuse, and frustrate you all at the same time. So fasten your seatbelts, keep your eyes on the road, and get ready for some fun. And now, here's your host, registered pharmacist, life student, and medical cannabis professional, Joseph Friedman.
Hello, Lindsay Gaiman. You are from Canada, and you are a nurse, and I don't know that much more about you other than we are going to talk to you about what's happening in Canada with regards to the cannabis program there, maybe some contrast to what's happening in the U.S. This is Joseph Friedman, pharmacist with the Medical Podcast Show, and I'm thrilled to have Lindsay in for this interview. So, Lindsay, why don't
you
give the audience a little bit of information about who you are?
Oh, wow. Who I am. I'm a nurse. I worked in a variety of clinical settings in my clinical practices. I worked in intensive care and emergency mood disorders. I really had a really good handle on a numerous different clinical areas, led me into teaching.
So how did you get into the cannabis industry?
Okay. So about 4.5 years ago, I think everybody can relate to this. I had a very personal experience with it, with my mom. We had to look at and examine quality of life for her, and medicinal cannabis seemed to be the most appropriate avenue, and it was extremely successful in giving her a very good increased quality of life right until the time she passed on. So in the meantime, that sparked my curiosity, having been a nurse and understanding, you know, our body and the systems and how everything works, introducing the endocannabinoid system was just, you know, that's where the fascination came. And then the cannabinoids and how everything works in this amazing synergy. So that's what actually brought me within the industry initially. And then I also started helping patients become legal, in meaning going to their doctor, getting a prescription, and then going to a licensed producer, and then getting their medicinal cannabis from a licensed producer of their choice.
So and, did you, Lindsay, did you ever, you know, own a dispensary or work in a dispensary or work, you know, in the industry in Canada?
No, I never worked in a dispensary. I had been asked a few times to actually work in a dispensary. There's multiple aspects to dispensaries. There was one where I was able to provide a little bit of education, but that didn't last too long. And I just kept moving along. And as I started learning and as I started to really understand it, I was able to start putting kind of these puzzles together, continued still working with patients, but I was able to add more substance to their learning curve. What became very apparent really quickly is the education piece to it. You know, someone would say, okay, I have my medical cannabis. what is it being, why am I being treated with it? Is it going to treat what I'm asking the doctor to treat me for? It was very, very early on, it was noticeable, this great big gap of education that was needed. So that became my focus, having a background in education as well.
So with you know, Canada going from medical to an entire, the country is now recreational or adult use, you know, how has that changed what you do or what you want to do?
I don't think it's actually changed anything that I would like to do. Education in the recreational aspect would still be the same as teaching on the medicinal side. Recreational is, you know, the medicinal program hasn't gone anywhere. You know, the court ruled for Canadians to have the constitutional right to use cannabis as medicine. And then in 2001, it went into effect that people would be issued licenses to have it for their own personal use. And this was just the beginning. So there really is, you know, what is being, it's still the same thing, the education that needs to still go through a retail store and also a licensed producer, what that education looks like. It's universal.
Okay. So, and then, through our past discussions, you're also involved with, you know, potentially doing things outside of Canada in other countries. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was asked, I was approached actually by the CEO of Frontier Botanics to see if I, Ian Richardson, to see if I would become a part of their advisory board as a medical cannabis educator. And, you know, absolutely. After a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversation, it was something that I felt that I could really throw myself into. We're very, very like-minded in what we want to do within this, within the industry. So that's primarily what I do, is help create content and reviewing content and being actively a part in the educational component of all of it. What I see across the board, even within, you know, investments and raising money, it remains very, very mysterious still for investors trying to connect all the dots as well. And education plays a role of that too, with level of comprehension. And it's very, very important. So I'll chime in from time to time to help facilitate that education to connect all the dots. So that would be in Africa. It's a UK-based company. Also, there's educational needs on a global scale across the board. If you look at Europe right at the moment, it's exploding within the medical cannabis industry, not so much even recreational. They're focusing on medicinal, and the education is, again, I can't emphasize it enough, so important. You know, being informed is pretty important.
I was just talking to someone I work with who's from Bulgaria, and he was explaining how Bulgaria is just so behind the eight ball. He's young, and he was visiting his family there, and the police pulled him over, and he said, "Why are you pulling me over?" And he says, "Well, you fit the, you know, the profile for a young man who would be carrying carrying marijuana around," and they searched him.
Wow.
So it's almost like a police state in Bulgaria, but that's not the case in other countries.
Well, and that's correct. Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunately, right, because it brings us back to looking at the history of cannabis, how it's evolved. You know, you can go back 8,000 years and look at how, you know, the presence of the cannabis plant. And the stereotypes actually that still remain. The stigmas, stereotypes, and the barriers are still, that's probably one of the most important things to deal with when you're dealing with a variety of different countries and their sense of perception of cannabis. And, you know, for the longest time, it's been in prohibition. So it's been an illegal drug. So these are how a lot of people have been brought up. You know, it's an illegal drug. It's not good. And now all of a sudden, you know, this, the cannabis industry is exploding and they're saying there's therapeutic effects to this from this plant. And it's creating a lot of confusion. You know, I saw in one forum a woman who said, oh, the bodies are just going to start piling up. You know, it's just, it's very extreme all over the place. And unfortunately, you know, law enforcement, it isn't just law enforcement, but different professionals, that stigma kind of carries on to kind of that stoner, I guess, if you will, cliche of, thought process, you know, that guy kind of dresses and fits that kind of stereotype. So he must be doing that, which is unfortunate.
So let's get back into talking about Canada, because I think our audience is very interested. You know, what has been the positive and or negative effects of the adult use program in Canada? Has there been?
From a recreational standpoint, you know, yeah, I think there's been a lot of positive takeaways. I think there's been a lot of growing pains, not necessarily negative, but growing pains that have started since the Cannabis Act came into effect. Some of the positives is that people take a lot of comfort knowing that it's legal, that they can go into a store, they can make their purchase, and, you know, it's they don't have anything to fear any longer. Some of the growing pains is each province has been allowed to kind of come up with, you know, the federal government legalized cannabis and when allows each province kind of to make some of their own provincial laws within the Medical Cannabis Act.
Okay, has there been a cultural shift that you've seen in Canada, or has it been sort of a, you know, just business as usual?
Business as usual, actually. People, I think, are very, very curious about it, especially with this recent legalization previous on October 17th, you know, 2.0. Now topicals are legal, oils, concentrates, you know, the whole entire gamut. So I think that the cultural shift is... It is, in a sense, it's shifting for our future generations. That's where the shift is. It's making it more approachable. People have no other choice but to, it's kind of always there in their, not in their face, but it's talked about quite a bit and you can see it. And some people are very, very, very transparent. You know, they're coming out of the closet, if you will. A lot of people have kept that kind of, you know, to themselves, very, very quiet, that they use, you know, cannabis-based medicine or even recreational, and cause there is a difference between the two. So yeah, there is definitely something to be said about, I guess, coming out of the closet in a way in Canada. But Canadians have definitely embraced, for the most part, this, you know, this chain, and Health Canada, you know, laid down some very, very good, you know, type of restrictions. It can't be a recreational store. It can't be near a school, and just in to product labeling and safety issues and things like that. They took all of those things into effect, and yeah.
Okay, so our, you know, so talking about Canada, is there anything going on at the Canadian-U.S. borders where people are coming over from the U.S., crossing into Canada, getting product? Has this created a problem?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a really, really great question. And I'm sure people have tried. But, you know, in a very, very short answer, if you're traveling outside of Canada into the United States or abroad, just don't do it. Because the United States, you know, federally, it's not legal. State to state is different. And it's just, yes, that would be an issue. You'd be turned away if you had, even with your prescription. Canada-wide, you can travel quite comfortably with it. But it is, I wouldn't suggest going, it would cause a problem. You would definitely be turned away at the borders.
Okay. And then I guess, you know, here's another question. is supply keeping up with demand?
And that's actually a great question. And that's something that there's been a lot of speculation about as of recently, as we're coming up to where edibles are going to be available, all these products are going to come into effect, and that there is going to be initially a very small limited quantity that comes out in December, which would, some could speculate and say that there is a bit of a shortage. Do we have enough to cover, you know, the increase in use, because everybody's going to want to try it. I mean, we're going to have beverages now that are infused with THC. Mind you, there's a cap off in the recreational department that Health Canada has said. So you're not going to see something like a THC percentage of 26%. You know, they've cap that. So you'll see 10% THC infused in your beverages. So, you know, you're starting to see cafes that are starting to open. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. And what about prices? Have prices stabilized or gone down?
Prices, that's a really, really interesting thing. From province to province, it's going to vary. But, you know, you're going to be looking at anywhere from $9 all the way up to $16. I've seen, in province to province, you're going to see something different as well. So Alberta, for an example, their price ranges are from, you know, let's say $9.50 all the way up to $16. And if you bring it to Ontario, you see everything from $8 all the way up to $17 per gram. An oral spray could possibly go all the way up to 100, topicals even more.
Wow.
So it's quite a range.
I see. And who are the main players in Canada's cannabis industry?
Oh gosh, we've got a lot of amazing, some really, really good players in our industry. One, you know, so many that you could actually list off. One being Broken Coast Cannabis. You know, they're a really good company for medicinal use, not recreational. There is a big difference between these two, and recognizing that. Medleaf is another one. You know, Canopy, Tilray. You've got some big companies that are doing
Are the majority of them from Canada, or are they coming from other countries?
Nope, the majority of these guys are in Canada, but you will see, what's interesting is that, you know, people have had the opportunity to watch North America go through some significant growing pains when it comes to recreational use, medicinal use, what that regulatory framework looks like within recreational and medicinal. I think there's some pretty amazing companies, even within Canada on a smaller scale, that are coming, and they're really, really putting a lot of effort into what's needed. And so that's research and development, the clinical trials, the things that we so deeply need to get these products, you know, safely to people. The USA has some amazing companies, and then you look overseas and they've watched and they're doing the takeaways. So, okay, that seemed to have worked. What can we do to improve this? So it's been really interesting watching some of the countries introduce their own unique regulatory framework, but they're very, very aware and taking a look at the countries that have legalized and taking away from doing the takeaways from that.
Now, Lindsay, one of the things that's happening in the U.S. and maybe even in Canada is the vaping issue, you know, where people are getting sick and dying. Is that happening in Canada at all?
I haven't heard any reports as of yet. A little while ago, Pediatric Association of Canada came out with that there is, they didn't say that there was deaths, but there is some cannabis-related illnesses that had come about, but nothing really further came from that.
Are products laboratory tested? I mean, is there...
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Health Canada actually is a good resource to go to understand what pesticides are being used right from the very beginning to the fact of processing the plant. So yes, they're tested, it's regulated. It's a controlled substance. If you look at the medicinal side, which recreational, it's not a controlled substance, but it's also very small in the parameters in how much THC can be in that product or CBT at any given time.
I see. And now, we talked about education before. Is there any required training for Canadians that work in grow facilities or dispensaries?
Absolutely. You know what? That's a fantastic question. And if you were to go back, say, 3-4 years ago, it was just starting. And now you can see colleges that are starting to offer these courses for people who would like to work for LPs in it's quite diverse, actually, the whole entire process of a licensed producer. So education is being formed. The implementation of that, what the company provides for their staff, is still a little unclear in what they get.
Okay. Well, we're
at this point.
We're coming up sort of on the tail end of this interview. Is there anything else that you feel you want to tell the audience, which is primarily pharmacists and other allied healthcare professionals, about Canada and what they can expect down the road?
Oh, gosh, where to begin? I think, to understand that there's a very distinct difference between recreational and medicinal. Medicinal is giving way to cannabis-based medicine, and that's where our focus needs to be. Recreational is always been done, let's say, except it's just come into kind of the spotlight. And there's a fine line that cannabis has actually created between, the medicinal aspect and recreational. But understanding that, there's still a large population of people, of patients treating patients, people that believe in the plant so much that, they get creative on their own, and being able to keep not an open mind, but being able to listen to those things too. People are more attuned with their bodies than I think what we give them credit for when it comes to cannabis and other therapies as well. Taking the time to understand from the consumer point of view, the patient's point of view, in bringing it all in, there needs to be such things as treatment plans that reflect cannabis-based medicine. The two, in the delivery of healthcare, the two have to be integrated and streamlined together. We can't keep them separate anymore. That'll be a fault, I think, that comes down to healthcare professionals across the board if we're not willing to streamline the two together, or else our patients will continue to say, "Meh, I'm not using it," or "I only use this." We need to understand exactly what they're using, how they're using it. And, some people will surprise people in how they're using it, but being open-minded to capture the whole story. It's just like with any prescription medication, you want to know that whole entire story and what it's being treated for. It's the same with cannabis. We're looking at it as a medicine. It's a controlled substance. Therefore, it should be treated the same way. And our paperwork documentation and how we approach things should all, I think, reflect that as well.
Great. Well, this has been fantastic. I thank you. You seem like you really have your finger on the pulse of the industry in Canada, and really appreciate you spending this time with us to teach us a little bit about what's happening to our neighbors, to the north. And is there anything, any closing remarks you want to make?
Oh, gosh. In closing is just, it's perseverance in, really communities uniting together for the greater good of people who require what were, these amazing products that are coming to light. We've exposed THC and CBD. We still have another, let's say, 78 naturally occurring cannabinoids to still explore. So to just stick with it and go for the long haul of it, because I think this plant has a lot to actually show us. And just unity and, the division, we that just creates sometimes some counterproductive activity. So aligning ourselves and like-minded, making a universal education so it doesn't cause confusion, and moving from there.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Have a good rest of the day. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You on the Medical Podcast Show.
And, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to sign off for now. And
okay, great.
Look forward to being in touch. Okay. Bye.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Medical Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please help us by sharing the show on your LinkedIn, Twitter, and other social media networks. If you have healthcare-oriented questions or are a pharmacist or healthcare professional and want to learn more about medical cannabis, please reach out to our team by email. Send your message to medicalpodcast@gmail.com. The Medical Podcast should not be used in any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care or as a basis for expert witness testimony. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast. Seek all medical advice and or treatment from a certified, registered, licensed physician and or pharmacist. This is not legal advice. Seek out a knowledgeable lawyer about the subject. The Medical Podcast is for general information purposes to generate meaningful conversations about medical marijuana and is not an authority on the subject from a clinical or legal perspective.